This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. 50 is a difficult word for comedian and Vegas headliner Rita Rudner. So difficult, in fact, she prefers to tell people she's in her filthies. In a collection of essays for her latest book entitled I Still Have It, I Just Can't Remember Where I Put It, The Confessions of a 50-something, Rudner jokes about the hassles and joys of getting older, the discomfort of certain types of undergarments, taking up golf, and not sweating the small stuff. And at 54, she shows no signs of slowing down. This month, she stars in a stand-up comedy special for PBS. Her first play, which she co-wrote with her husband, is set to open in Vegas, and she is set to continue headlining in Vegas through 2010, proving that the Big 5-0 really is the new 30. So all of you 50-somethings out there, what's the most interesting thing you've had to get used to in your new decade, positive or negative? 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org, and you can join the conversation on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. Later in the program, Pat Morrison of the Los Angeles Times on the passage of the pantry of the Ambassador Hotel from the crime scene of Robert Kennedy's assassination to storage in an undisclosed location. But first, Rita Rudner. Her new book is called I Still Have It, I Just Can't Remember Where I Put It, and she joins us from our bureau in New York. And nice to have you on Talk of the Nation today.
Thank you very much. I should mention that I am 54, but to dyslexic people, I do look 45.
At 54, you note in the book, you've aged out of the last demographic that actually counts with advertisers and TV networks.
I do. I write about it in my book. I have a friend, and she was called, you know, a caller who was unsolicited and trying to take a survey. And when she mentioned she was over 50, he just hung up. He just didn't want to know. Didn't want to know. And I think that's a great reason for me to be on PBS, is that most television specials of comedy and sitcoms are aimed at ages 18 to 39. And I think if there was ever a time you needed to laugh, it was after you were 39. That's when the warranty starts to run out. That's when the mortgage is due. And that's when your responsibilities are starting to pile up. I think there are generations of people being comedically ignored. Don't you agree?
Well, are you suggesting the demographic who watches PBS is, a little gray?
No, I'm suggesting that they're intelligent, and a large part of them could be over 39. I'm sorry. It's
just
true.
A few of them, maybe.
Because we're not... It's time that, you know, we spend more time at home. We have more responsibilities. And I just think it's wonderful to be able to listen to radio and television where they're not pushing beer and sneakers.
Well, one thing you do write is that the only place you see actresses on TV over the age of 50 is in the commercials on the network television news broadcasts.
Yes, and the commercials for bone-strengthening medicines. Or we can be on commercials for osteoporosis or, incontinence. You can be incontinent and you can be on television after you're 50. I used to write for the Oscars, and I remember I wrote this one joke that they didn't want to use. And the joke was, in case of fire, would all actresses over 40 please stay seated? And they didn't want to use that. And I thought that was such a good joke.
It is a good joke. You get older, though, one of the things you said you could not, and you're clearly somebody who has an athletic background. For those who don't know, you started out as a dancer on
Broadway.
Know
everything, don't you, Neil?
Well, I know. I can read three pages of a bio before I do an interview.
But, well, I'm impressed because I can't see the pages. I'm in New York.
You surely have your glasses with you.
Oh, no. You know what? I can see close up and my husband can see far away. So as long as we're together, we don't need glasses.
But you don't travel everywhere, do you?
No, that's okay. But I don't have to see. I only have to see far away when I'm driving. You know, if I bump into someone on the street, I'm not going to kill them. So I only wear my glasses when I'm in a moving vehicle.
Let's get some callers in on the line. Our guest, obviously, is Rita Rudner. Her new book is I Still Have It, I Just Can't Remember Where I Put It. Email is talk@npr.org. The phone number is 800-989-8255. And let's talk with Gary. Gary's with us from Cleveland in Ohio.
Hi, Gary.
Yeah. Yeah, hi Rita. You're great, and I love your work. You were talking about being together and the reading thing, and that's the big thing for me. I'm a pharmacist, and you know some of the writing on the bottles and the labels are just so tiny that not only do I wear reading glasses, but sometimes I have to use a magnifying glass to on top of the reading glasses in order to read it. I don't know who they're writing these things for, but it isn't certainly for people over 50.
Exactly true. My husband has an iPod, and it's so small that he loves it, but it's so small he can't see what's going on in it. He has to do he's with the magnifying glass, too. You're absolutely right.
You know, so, I mean, I use the interesting thing is that I'm at a computer all day, and I wear these reading glasses like they're regular glasses, and I wear them for 8 to sometimes 14 hours a day. But as soon as I get in my car, I take them off. When I'm home, I don't need them. Of course, unless I need to read the newspaper or anything specific, it's very embarrassing. Sometimes we go out, my wife and I go out to dinner, and I may forget my reading glasses, and I have to borrow her very girlish one.
Mm. Oh, well, that would be very attractive. And keep using that magnifying glass because it's so important to keep giving people the correct medicine. I've read that.
Will do.
And yes. Gary, I suggest those cat's eye glasses. They're the best ones.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Let's see if we can get Kathleen on the line. Kathleen with us from Fort Wayne in Indiana.
Oh, that was
great.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, Kathleen.
What I would like to say is I love being over 50. I was one of those little girls that wasn't particularly pretty, and I didn't invest a lot of my self-identity in being pretty. Rather, I had developed a lot of other characteristics. And now that I'm over 50, I don't have to be pretty anymore, and I'm absolutely loving it.
Well, you know what's wonderful, too? I don't worry about things that I used to worry about when I was younger. I worry about things that are important, you know? So I think your priorities become much more sensible when you're 50. And because I work in Las Vegas, Vegas is the average age of a tourist is 50 years old in Las Vegas. So that's why so many performers who aren't 22 are making huge runs there. It's not only me. I'm the spring chicken. We've got Bette and Cher and Elton John right across the street. And Barry Manilow. So, you know, I can do cartwheels still. They can't.
Well, that's super. Yeah. I think there are tremendous advantages to being older, and I'm enjoying it a lot.
Well, Kathleen, thanks very much, and we appreciate the phone call.
Okay, thanks.
Bye-bye. I have to ask, Rita Rudner, there's the picture on the back page of the cover of your book. Is that your gam that graces that page?
It could be because have you seen the one of me upside down? Open the book and look in the end.
In the end?
I used to be a dancer.
Of course.
I wasn't a good ballet dancer in Swan Lake. I was the lifeguard. But I was a dancer, and I was a dancer for a very long time. I've still got calf muscles that I don't use.
But you said one of the things that happened to you after the age of 50 was, pulling a muscle, doing some dances.
Yes, I injured a groin muscle, and it wasn't mine. Yes, exactly right.
Well, you've gone into a new sport, golf.
I have, and to my husband's great annoyance, and he is, you know, I try, people ask me what my handicap is. Go on, Neil, ask me.
What's your handicap?
Well, I don't know because I've never played all 18 holes. I've never been able to start early enough where it wasn't dark before I finished. So it's so annoying to the people who are playing in back of me. I turn around, I see them selling their clubs, you know, because when you get in back of someone as bad as me, you really don't want to continue.
Well, you use the same rule I use in miniature golf, which is that your maximum score on any hole is an 8.
That's it. So why not just write 8 for every hole and just be done with it?
The snowman.
Yes, I like the cart. My husband has a little problem, though. If there's water in front of him, it's psychological. He'll hit the ball in the water. So he went to the golf hypnotist who convinced him that the water wasn't there, and he drove the golf cart into the lake, which really wasn't what I had in mind.
He uses pink golf balls, though, you say.
Yes,
no, you
well,
do.
I use pink golf balls, which is, you know, when people find them in their pools, they know whose they are. But still, I just didn't. But when you put a pink ball down, no one expects you to be good. So if you get a good shot, then everyone's amazed. This is another secret to happiness in life, low expectations.
Let's see if we can get Demi on the line, or is it Demi?
It's Demi.
Go ahead, Demi, from Leawood in Kansas.
Hi, Demi.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Can't wait to read your book.
Oh, thank you so much.
The most shocking thing that has happened to me, I'm age 51, is that this week I received my AARP card in the mail.
Oh,
and
dear.
I looked at it in shock and horror, immediately sent in a $10 check and went to southwest.com to see how much discount I could get on my airfare. It's 10%.
Oh, see? Well, there are good things about being over 52. I know it's so hard to know whether to lie about your age or whether to accept the discount. But I think the discount wins every time. And we don't have to worry because Madonna is 50.
Yes.
Jamie Lee Curtis is 50.
Yes.
I think, isn't Tom Cruise getting near 50? We're okay. We're all together in this 50 boat.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Demi. Let's see if we can go to, this is Lynn, and Lynn's with us from Cape Cod in Massachusetts.
Hi, Rita.
I love Cape Cod. Is it beautiful there, Lynn?
Hi. Well, I'm so happy that you're on because you're talking about something that is really important in a positive, humorous way. And, you know, I probably would get angry about all the things you listed, but you're doing it where people will listen, and that's most excellent.
Well, I have to talk about silly things that happen, too, as we get older, because I understand, you know, things that are different now from when I was 25, like women's underwear has changed dramatically, and I just don't understand why men are allowed to wear pillowcases and we're walking around in slingshots.
I don't
but
get it.
That's just the way it is.
I wanted to tell you a funny story, if you have a minute. When I turned 50, I thought I would give myself a tattoo.
Oh, my gosh.
So it was. I did that, and it's very flattering.
Did you give it to yourself, or did you have a professional do it?
Person. The other day, my 16-year-old was talking with his friend, saying, yeah, my mom got a tattoo at 50, and I'm 56 now. And they said, no, you got to be wrong. She must have been like 40. and because I thought that's so flattering. They think I'm a decade is younger than I am.
What tattoo is it? Does it say mom or Screaming Eagle or something?
Oh, no, it's a picture on my ankle. I took it out of a magazine. It's 10 dancing women. And so.
Wow. Well, I don't need a tattoo because on my left leg I have a vein in the shape of a ship.
That's right. I have those two.
Yeah.
Those fair.
Lynn, thanks very much, and enjoy the tattoo.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right.
10 dancing women. She must have some big leg.
We're talking with Rita Rudner. Her new book is called I Still Have It. I Just Can't Remember Where I Put It, Confessions of a 50-something. And we'd like to hear from those few other 50-somethings in our audience today. What's the most interesting thing you've had to get used to in your new decade? Give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. And stay with us. I'm Neil Conan. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Nobody delivers a punchline quite like Rita Rudner, and she's never been afraid to poke fun at things like men, relationships, aging, and skincare.
You know what I like, though? I like those spray-on tans. Have you seen them? They're so easy. I use them on turkey. Because you're not supposed to go in the sun. I've read about it. Oh, it's so bad for you. It's supposed to make your skin leathery and wrinkly and old. Sometimes I look at those gorgeous 16-year-old girls just baking themselves on the beach and think, fry, you home wreckers, fry!
One of the many laugh lines from the PBS comedy special, Rita Rudner, live from Las Vegas, which airs on PBS this month. Rita Rudner's new book is called I Still Have It. I just can't remember where I put it. Confessions of a 50-something. If you're a fellow 50-something, what's the most interesting part of hitting that fifth decade? 800-989-8255. You can also drop us an email, talk@npr.org. And Rita Rudner, I'd like to ask you something a little bit about process. On television, you can burn through an awful lot of material really fast. Once those jokes have been played on a PBS special, can you ever use them again?
Yes, because people forget. Even I forget my jokes. And also, I always write new jokes. And on the PBS special, I do have 40 minutes of material, but I have my very first DVD coming out at the end of the month in June, and that is an hour special. And it has 30 extra minutes where I take you on a guide to my Las Vegas. And because I've been in Las Vegas for such a long time, I've accumulated enough material where I'll also have new things to tell people when they come to see me. But that's a very good question, because for a long time I was asked to do a TV special and a DVD. And I said no, because people were coming to Las Vegas and so consistently. And I was afraid of that very same thing. So I waited till I gathered enough material together, because I write in a condensed fashion. So where other comedians would be able to riff upon a subject, I get to a punchline very, very quickly. So it is a little challenging.
And these little essays that you collect in this book, and there many of them are about aging, but there's a lot of other topics too. But nevertheless, are these sort of, how do you decide what becomes an essay and what becomes a joke? Because there's a lot of good jokes in your book.
I start to write, and if I think of a subject, and if it comes easily and it flows, it's a good subject. And if I stop after the third sentence, I scrunch it up and I throw it away. Well, I don't scrunch it. I'm writing on the computer now. But you have to begin it, and you have to see where it goes. And that's but there's so many things to write about. I mean, restaurants have become so bizarre these days. I don't know why they're so dark. I can't see anything that's going on. You know, I took a bite of a breadstick. It turned out to be my husband's finger. So, you know, there are things that I like to mention that everyone's experiencing because we're all in this world together, but I like to verbalize them or I guess ritualize them. I'm writing them on the page. Is ritualize, that's not a word you should use on NPR.
I don't think, well, it's all right. It's a family show.
We can use that word. Get what I mean.
I think so. Let's go to Ramona. Ramona's with us from Burton in Michigan.
Hi, Ramona.
Hi, Rita. I wanted to let you know, first off, I saw you about 10 years ago in Ohio at a dinner my company had, and I just fell in love with you. You had everybody rolling in the aisles. I wanted to ask you, though, are there any specifically humorous moments from your own family life that you think have helped to bolster your career or that you've specifically used in your monologues?
Yes, getting married was really good for me because he gives me lots and lots of material. I think, you know, people ask me if I mind that my husband does this or that. I said, no, I love that he does everything because that's how I got my act. And everybody, it doesn't matter. Men are, we've got so many of the same characteristics, men all over the world and women all over the world. Like I write in my book about my pillows because women were collecting pillows more and more these days that no one is allowed to put their heads on. And I don't know why we do that. Now I have plates that I can't put food on. I have candles I can't light. And I have ashtrays in my house and nobody smokes. And all my friends say, I do that too. So I had to write about it.
There you go. Well, thank you very much for answering my question. You're wonderful.
Thank you. Tell everyone at the dinner I still say hi and tell them not to roll anymore.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks very much for the call, Ramona. You did write that, for example, well, women's clothes and particularly underclothes have changed a lot over the years. But nevertheless, half the women at least you see during the day are all wearing jogging outfits, sweatpants.
I know. Well, that's because I am an older mother. And when you drop your child off to school at the ungodly hour that they insist on getting them to school, you can't really work a button or a zipper. So you just have to pull things on and hope they stay up, which is what happens. And I think that's another way I stay young is I can't think about how old I'm getting because my daughter has so much energy that I say her name is Molly. I say she wakes up and she gets on the Molly bus. I get on the Molly bus with her, and we're on the Molly bus all day. So it doesn't, I think the busier you keep and the more active you are, the less time you have to think about, oh my gosh, my knee hurts.
You moved to New York City to become a dancer on Broadway, which
yes,
was
I did.
Your burning ambition when
mm-hmm.
you were 15 years old.
Yes.
Moved to New York on your own.
Yes.
Would you?
I will not leave. No. I know what you're going to ask me. My daughter's staying in her room till she's 32. You know that little door that the doggy comes out? I'm doing a smaller door. I'm just pushing food in. And I don't want her to go anyplace. Again, I had a different situation. To be perfectly serious, you know, my mother died when I was 13. My father married someone I didn't know who didn't particularly like me. And I had a burning desire to be a dancer. So it wasn't that I was going to, you know, go to New York and just, you know, hang around the Bowery and do anything that I wasn't supposed to do. I made a schedule for myself where I was at ballet class every morning at 10. I was at jazz class at 2. I was at singing class at 5. And at night I went to an acting class. And I got my equity card within 2 months and I was in a show. So, again, everybody's different. No, I wouldn't let my daughter do it, but my circumstances were extraordinary.
And I've also read that you said the most liberating moment in your life was then when you left New York.
That's another essay I have. It's called The Knee-Jerk No. And that's the essay that so many people are telling me that they're enjoying because they're recognizing it in their own lives. When you have enough courage to say yes to something that you've always said no to, some wonderful, wonderful things can happen. And I was so sure that I should live in New York in my apartment by myself for the rest of my life and, you know, go to comedy clubs and tell jokes and then come back home. And then one day I noticed I wasn't happy, and I saw a very wonderful person for a while and who opened me up. And one day a man called, and who had worked for before, and he said, "Would you like to come to Australia and do a show for me?" And I said, "Yes." And normally I would have said no. I said, "No, I have to be in New York. I have to go to auditions. I have to do my show. I have to go to Catch a Rising Star at 1 o'clock. I have to be swimming. I swam 100 laps before 9 a.m. And I said, "You know what? Yes, let's do something different." And he turned out to be the man I married, and we've been married for 20 years. So sometimes it's so important to go out of your comfort zone and to say yes to things you would ordinarily say no to.
Let's get another caller on the line. This is Meryl. Meryl with us from Charlotte, North Carolina.
Hi, Rita.
Hi, Meryl.
I'm calling to tell you the most shocking thing that's happened to myself and my husband. As a matter of fact, we're not near 50 yet. My husband turns 40 today. But just a couple of weeks ago, we got a telemarketing call from a funeral home. They're soliciting us to buy our funeral plans at age 40, and it was even disguised as a, happy birthday. It's time to plan your funeral.
Oh, how funny and how cruel.
Yeah, so that was just funny and shocking. And
did they use the old Nikita Khrushchev line, "We will bury you"?
I hope, you know, they have a sunroof in their coffins, because you're not ready to go yet. At least you have to see outside.
Not at all, that's right. But shocking nonetheless.
Thanks very much for the call, Meryl, and you're closer to 50 than you think.
Oh, now, Neil, you stop it. Meryl's a young spring chicken over there.
Let's see if we can get Bill on the line, and if I can figure out, there it is. Bill's on the line from Kentucky.
Hi there. I'm 69, and I'm driving on a car through Kentucky right now. And, Rita, I want to congratulate you for having such clean humor. I've seen you many times on HBO, and unlike George Carlin and company, I can watch your show with a woman.
Well, thank you so much. And that's another reason I decided to do this comedy special on PBS, because I could have done another one on pay cable, but there's no reason for me to be on pay cable because the swearing factor really doesn't come into what I do on stage. So I figured, what a good match, me and PBS. And thank you so much for mentioning that. I appreciate it.
I think you should be on when they do their fundraising. You're going to bring in a lot of money.
You know what? That's what you call your PBS station in Kentucky if you don't see it, because we were just on last night here in Manhattan and in Las Vegas and in Philadelphia, and we're bringing in a lot of money.
And thank you. I look forward to seeing you in person in Las Vegas one of these days.
I'll be there at Harris. I'll be wearing a gown.
Great. And one of the biggest funny things is I'm 69, I'm single and dating, and I don't have to worry near as much about any of the things I used to worry about, like acne, no more, anything like that.
Excellent. See, there are very, very good benefits to being no more acne.
Bill, thanks very much for the call. Drive carefully, please.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. Oh, yeah, talking and driving. You know, I was very upset because somebody bumped me, rear-ended me because they were talking while they were driving, and it really upset me because I was cooking. I made Neil laugh. I made Neil laugh.
let's see if we can get Adrian on the line. Adrian's with us from Cleveland, or is it Adrienne?
Adrian,
go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call, Neil. Hello, Rita.
Hi, Adrienne.
Listen, I'm 54 as well, but thank God I'm an Aries, so I know I will survive this. And I do stand up. I just wrote a book, Notes from the Mothership. Sorry.
Oh, that's good. I like that.
Yeah, Notes from the Mothership, The Naked Invisibles. I do stand-up comedy. I'm a poet. I got fired from my job, but that's okay. For some reason now, it becomes so wonderful to be your own person. And I often read this quote from Concrete Blonde: "Today I married myself and I became my own wife."
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that cool? And
very good.
That is exactly what I've done. I've become my own person, and I'm starting to feel very good in my own skin with my own skills. And I applaud you for all of the things that you've done. You're so funny, and I enjoy seeing you. I've not seen you in Vegas, but hey, that's next.
Hey, come on. Bring your mothership on over to Vegas. We'll have a good time.
Oh, baby, we'll fly right on over there. The other thing about being 54, though, is the breasts, the sagging breasts. I did breastfeed. As a matter of fact, I am still breastfeeding, but he's 12.
Excuse me.
You're all kidding.
Okay.
I think that's the worst part, is to see how your breasts have just, like, headed south.
Well, don't look.
Into your belt loop. But that's it. Thank you for taking my comment.
Okie dokie. And you know what? I have a really good push-up bra. It has this special metal that's attracted to the fillings in my teeth.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Adrian.
Anytime. I have lots
wet
of hints.
Myself.
No, don't do that.
Incontinent.
Oh, no.
Can I say?
You could be on TV. We could do a commercial, the Incontinent Sisters.
We should. Thank you, Rita.
You're welcome.
So long. If you think you hate shopping online, you can check out why Rita Rudner does not like internet shopping, among her other confessions of a 50-something, in an excerpt from her book on our website at npr.org/talk. And you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And Dave is with us. Is it Fort Lauderdale?
Well, I'm on my way to Fort Lauderdale. I'm driving from Hilton Head to Fort Lauderdale. I'm actually in St. Augustine.
That's pretty over there.
But you've got a ways to go.
But I pulled over. I'm
good.
Not driving. So I stopped driving while I was talking on the phone. I thought that was the best thing to do since I'm 50. I didn't want to do two things at one time.
You could drive at 50 and be 50. Yes, go.
I called in because the most exciting thing since turning 50 is I have twin 2-year-old sons. They'll be 2 years old in a month. So
wow.
I'm kind of like daddy granddaddy at the same time.
Me too. Well, we adopted our little girl when I was 48, and I wouldn't have done it any other way. I wouldn't have wanted any other little girl, and I wouldn't have wanted to be any other age than I am.
It's absolutely amazing. It's changed everything in my life. Everything's been turned around, and they're the most important thing in my life, and I'm glad I did it later in life because I've calmed down. Things are slower. I learned to appreciate things, and I put things in different perspectives.
I couldn't agree with you more.
And the only thing I don't have is I don't have the energy to chase them all over the place all the time like I used to.
Well, that's true, but that's what other people are for.
That's I try to get as many people as I can to help, exactly.
Yes, I bring in another 5-year-old and they tire each other out.
But I walked into the store a few months ago and asked for diapers, and she looked at me and she said, adult or child?
Oh, that's funny. I like that.
Oh, that's cold.
That's bad. I say my daughter has a lot of energy. Her favorite game is hide and seek, and it's our favorite game too because we don't look for her right away.
My son's favorite game is let's split up and run in different directions.
Oh, that's a good one too. Well,
yeah,
make sure you keep an eye on that one.
But it's certainly added up. But I'm not a 50 by 50. I'm really a 30-year-old person in a 50-year-old's body. And I'm about as mature as a 12-year-old, so it all works out for me.
Well, okay, well, then I added all that up, and you're 72.
Yeah, physically, yeah, I feel that way.
No, don't be silly.
Dave, thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
So long.
Thank you, Dave.
And let's get Ellen on the line. Ellen's with us from Oklahoma City.
Hi,
Ellen.
We're running all over the country, aren't we, Neil?
Yes, we are.
Oh, good.
And our energy is unbounded.
Yes, because we're sitting down.
Well, I'm 52 and I work in a restaurant. I'm surrounded by 18 and 20-year-olds all day. So one day I'm working in the kitchen and Aerosmith comes on and I'm singing along to it. And they're singing along and all of a sudden one of them realizes I'm singing. They go, wow, she knows all the words to Aerosmith. And I said, yeah, but it took me 30 years to memorize them.
See?
These guys had absolutely no clue that I'm the same age as Aerosmith.
Well, Aerosmith had been around a very, very long time. And they looked at what Steve, the Steve guy, he looks very good, doesn't
Steve
he?
Steve Tyler, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. He's very pretty.
Thanks very much, Ellen. Appreciate the phone call. And Rita Redden, let me ask you, in your chapter, The Advantage of Vintage, you write, one of the pluses of age is that things you've owned in the past come back into style. Well, other than to be able to make unique fashion statements, tell us about some of the other advantages you
see.
Well,
I knew I was getting really old because you know you're old when you're wearing vintage Chanel and you're the original owner. And that's what happened to me when I was there. I'd had it for about 20 years, this Chanel coat. But what happens is, women, we don't throw anything away. That's something you must know about women. We cut things down. We reinvent them. Like, I still wear my prom dress. It's an eye patch, but I still wear my prom dress. And you put a new belt. You cut off a shirt as a dress. A dress as a Teddy, whatever it is, we keep reinventing. And sometimes I look in the magazines and I look at the latest styles and I just go back in the recesses of my closet and I think, I've got that already. And it's so exciting. And I bring it out and people say, where did you get it? And I say, I bought it 30 years ago. You can't have it.
Well, if you're interested in buying some Chanel No. 4 and flying out to Vegas on a DC-1, you can go see Rita Rudner's show at Harrah's.
I like that. That's the discount version of Chanel No. 5, Chanel No. 4.
She's an award-winning comedian, actress, and writer. Her new book is called I Still Have It, I Just Can't Remember Where I Put It, Confessions of a 50-something. Her first stand-up comedy special, Rita Rudner Live from Las Vegas, airs on PBS this month. As she heard her say, the DVD version, longer and even better, comes out at the end of the month. She was with us from our bureau in New York. Thanks so much, and good luck with the DVD.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on your show, Neil. I really appreciate it.
And when we come back, we're going to be talking with Pat Morrison of the Los Angeles Times about the curious fate of the pantry of the Ambassador Hotel in Los Angeles, where history turned 40 years ago today. I'm Neil Conan. Stay with us. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News.